Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A question for apiculturists. Yes, apiculturists. Those are people who keep bees. And the question is, where have all the bees gone? This question has been getting asked for the last 2 years as researchers have been detecting an 80% loss, 80% loss of the species in Europe, Brazil, parts of Asia, and the United States. More than affecting the price of honey, the decline of honeybees, which are used to cross-pollinate crops, may affect industries ranging from apples to almonds to avocados. Why are honeybees dying off, and what does this mean for you? We are joined by New Yorker staff writer Elizabeth Colbert, whose piece on bees called Stung was in last week's issue of The New Yorker, and Jeff Pettis, who is an entomologist and co-chair of the Colony Collapse Disorder Working Group. Elizabeth, welcome back. Jeff, welcome to WNYC.
Morning. Thank you.
And Elizabeth Colbert, you reported in your piece that bees have been routinely losing a percentage of colonies every year from mites and other pests. What is different about CCD, or colony collapse disorder? How bad is it?
Well, the difference is that there are some very striking differences, and Jeff can probably speak to that better than I, being head of the working group, but there are very striking differences in the symptomology, what you find. If you have mites, which have really devastated, I think people are not aware of that honeybees were already being devastated. There's basically half as many honeybee-managed colonies as there were 20 years ago because of mites, and there's also no more. You know, people might remember from their childhoods that they're would be honeybees that would just, you know, sort of be around. Those were called feral bees, and they were bees that were basically in the wild. But they just virtually don't exist anymore. So the honeybees have really been devastated in recent decades. And now you have this new phenomenon where people come to their hives, and what they find is there's almost no bees. The queen will still be there. She'll be laying. Quite possibly there'll be some young bees and larvae. So it seems like the colony should be building up. But instead what you have is all the adult bees are gone. And that's sort of the main symptom of colony collapse disorder. And what exactly is causing that is still the subject of much, much investigation.
And, Jeff, you are co-chair of the Colony Collapse Disorder Working Group. At what point was CCD identified and determined as a crisis for the bee community?
Well, as Elizabeth said, honeybees have been under attack since parasitic mites came in the 80s, and probably before that as well. They've had a number of health issues. And this past winter, though, with reports of dying bees and colonies with very few bees in them, when we went out to investigate, the unusual symptom was that we weren't finding high levels of parasitic mites. And so that, coupled with other signs and symptoms, they didn't match our previous existing, you know, pathologies for, you know, causation. And we put our heads together and put together a working group and began to sample across the country and try to get at the bottom of this. But we can't lose sight of the fact that honeybees were already under attack, as were pollinators in general in North America.
Elizabeth, you wrote the acclaimed series on climate change for The New Yorker, Field Notes from a Catastrophe, which became a book in 2006. Does climate change play a role here?
Well, that's a big unknown, and I think several people that I spoke to said that's a big unknown that hangs over not colony collapse disorder so much, although some people have speculated drought might be a stress involved. But as Jeff mentioned, there's also been a real crisis in wild pollinators, which are very poorly sort of monitored, but that is anything that's, you know, out in your garden, out in the woods, any flower, you know, any flowering plant has to be pollinated to produce seeds. Some are self-pollinating, but many have to be pollinated by some kind of insect, mainly bees, but moths and some cases hummingbirds. So a collapse of pollinators, people went out and looked at bumblebee species. So wild bumblebee species are just collapsing. You know, insects that used to be very common, they're just not there anymore. And that has huge repercussions for the plants that they pollinated, for the whole entire ecosystems, for the animals that depended on those plants.
Take me further, because, you know, for people living in our metropolitan area,
right,
the first reaction for a lot of people is going to be a shrug. It's like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about getting stung as much.
Right, and that's taking a pretty narrow view of life on this planet. You know, I mean, even in New York City, even if you're in Central Park, you know, something's pollinating a lot of the plants in Central Park. And if you'd like sort of Central Park even to look the way it has looked for the last 100 years, you're still going to need insects pollinating.
Jeff, you want to talk about the potential, you know, consequences, or even the consequences after a couple of years of this that we are actually seeing in terms of species diversity?
Sure. Let me follow up on what Elizabeth was saying. The National Academy of Sciences just came out this past year with a status of pollinators in North America, in which they talked about this decline, and as Elizabeth said, it's pretty widespread. Habitat destruction is probably one of the main causes, but there are a number of others, and so they point to things, and again, lack of monitoring and not knowing exactly the status of pollinators is a big issue. But bringing it back to the fact that, oh, well, okay, why should we even care in general? About a third of our diet depends on something that's been pollinated. So if we're willing to live and eat, and some people are, just eat wheat and corn and rice and things that are wind-pollinated, then we're fine. But if we really enjoy those other things, the strawberries, blueberries, apples, nuts and berries and things like that.
So all of those things are literally threatened, or the extent of their availability is threatened?
Well, to produce them economically, we rely on, in this case, a mobile pollinator, which is honeybees. And so, yeah, those things have to be pollinated to bear fruit. And at this point, we're still able to manage honeybee colonies and get them to the crops when we need. But we have very little in the way of a buffer. We used to manage 5 million colonies. We now manage 2.5 million colonies in the U.S., and we use over half of those in pollination. So the other half of those managed colonies are in people's backyards or on rooftops in New York City or whatever, and they're not mobile. They're not able to move to crops. So mm-hmm. We really have very little in the way of a buffer. And when we have an unusual die-off, it really could threaten pollination,
and you
although
know,
we've met the demand so far.
And you know what? People are calling in with a few of their stories, and let's hear some of them. Chris in Old Wick, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Brian. And tell Elizabeth I'm sorry about the bears getting her bees.
Thanks.
But what Elizabeth talked about in her story was that there's almost an AIDS-like issue when they die, cut into the bees and look in their guts and see dysentery and all sorts of diseases. Some Spanish researchers have isolated a Nosema disease that bees get, but there's an Asian strain, and it's Nosema serranae, C-E-R-A-N-E-A. You can Google it. And it seems to have moved into the European population and is affecting the bees. They believe that it can be treated with fumagillin, which is like a penicillin kind of thing, and you know, you can get that from a bee supply. I don't know for a fact that it will work, but I lost both my hives last year, and I'm hoping I don't lose them this year.
Chris, thank you very much. Now, that reference about the bears in your article, Elizabeth, the bears got your bees?
Well, a bear got my first hive, which was on the ground. But now I have got a new hive, or filled the hive with new bees, I should say. And it's hanging in the air, actually. And I just went to check them, in fact, right before the show, and they seem to be doing really well. So.
That's good. Now, Mr. Pettis, we are getting any number of calls from people with theories on why this is happening. I'll give you two.
Okay.
Genetically modified crops,
right.
And another one, microwave radiation from cell phones and things like that. Any truth to these theories as far as any scientist can tell?
We've actually fed pollen directly to bees in the both adult and larval stage from some genetically modified corn and other crops and don't see immediate effects. Doesn't mean that there couldn't be some interplay there. Some of the toxins that are used are targeted at moths or Lepidoptera, so they're very specific. The cell phone part has been fairly well debunked in that the German researchers came out and said, look, that wasn't meant to be extrapolated to overall bee health, and it was a very small study that they did. It doesn't rule out the possibility that other forms of energy in the environment could be playing havoc on bees. But one of the things we've done is to look at where these losses are occurring. And if it were, you'd expect to see them grouped or clumped in some fashion, depending on the type of energy or where the source of the energy might be coming from. I mean, we've heard solar flares, we've heard everything. And so it's really, we're pursuing known and unknown bee pathogens and or stresses that we know are already affecting bee health as primary lines of research.
Right.
And then we are spending some time on some of these other alternative theories.
Myra in Oceanside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Myra.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Thank you. Hello. Good. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm just wondering, is anybody looking at the ratio of the honeybees to the other pollinators? Because I'm seeing a huge increase in wasps and stuff out by me. I'm in Long Island.
That's interesting. Jeff Pettis, do wasps also pollinate like bees?
Wasps do some pollination. They're not as hairy as bees. That's one of the things that defines bees is the hairiness. And so they do a better job, but that gets back to this, the part of evaluating the status of all pollinators. There's just very little survey work going on, and the National Academy of Sciences said we need more of that to be able to document from year to year what these changes are really meaning. So, again, some of that is going on. I know there are some studies underway. There was a great study out of Great Britain that did show a fly and a bumblebee population that were in decline, and that was 6 or 10 years worth of data, because you have to collect over time to make it meaningful.
I'd just like to interject there to bring back the climate change angle. People have noticed, and this is an extremely unscientific comment, but people have noticed that in places where, you know, winters are getting milder, which they certainly are on the island, that wasp colonies which couldn't overwinter, now potentially can. So it's not impossible. I have absolutely no, you know, data to back this up in this particular case, but it's not impossible that some insects will do quite well with a warming, you know, climate, and some insects will not.
Elizabeth Colbert from The New Yorker, who in her story last week says she wasn't sure whether she was writing the story to keep bees or keeping bees to write the story. And Jeff Pettis, who is co-chair of the Colony Collapse Disorder Working Group, a consortium of government, university, and private groups trying to solve the bee disappearance problem, something with potentially far-reaching consequences to keep our eyes on. Thank you both very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, one of the organizers of the yearly Coast Conference in Chicago over the weekend, and one of the other bloggers who took part, and your calls if you were at yearly Coast. Stay with us.